Listening to Times May Vary on BFF.fm. I'm your host, Kaylin Brigato. This is your weekly hour of underground electronic music. This is broadcasting from home number 10. Last week I said it was number 10. That was actually number 9. So just a little correction there. Like I promised last week, doing another episode with speeches from activists in the Black Lives Matter movement and people who participated in the civil rights era and have been speaking out about Black lives and justice and equality for a long time. So we have speeches by Jesse Williams, Mr. Fab, one of the Black Lives Matter co-founders, Alicia Garza, and then we're going to end with a poem from Nikki Giovanni from her essay, Gemini. And then soundtracking that, last week we featured Ambient. This week is a little bit more upbeat, house, lo-fi kind of stuff. So I hope you enjoy this show. I hope that these words resonate with you and that they have an impact. For those of you who are out protesting still, stay safe. I'm supporting you from where I am. And just know that here at Times May Vary, no lives matter until Black Lives Matter. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. And once again, you're listening to Times May Vary on BFF.fm. Keep it locked.
This award, this is not for me, this is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do. All right? It's kind of basic mathematics. The more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize. Now, this is also in particular for the Black women, in particular, who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves. We can and will do better for you. Now, what we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's gonna happen is we are gonna have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Now, I got more, y'all. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday. So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich. Tell Rakia Boyd how it's so much better to live in 2012 than it is to live in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Dorian Hunt. Now the thing is though, all of us in here getting money, that alone isn't gonna stop this. All right? Now dedicating our lives to getting money just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies. There has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free. Now, freedom is always coming in the hereafter. But you know what, though? The hereafter is a hustle. We want it now. And let's get a couple things straight, just a little side note. The burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. All right, stop with all that. If you have a critique for the resistance, for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. Thank you.
White silence is still violence. Yeah. I don't care within the proximity of who you are, of your relationship. If you are me and you are my brother, regardless of your color, if you know that you have a different pigmentation that give you the right affiliation, utilize that. Utilize your privilege to speak for us. Utilize your privilege to do things on a platform that we can't do. We know what the risk is for anyone that's out here. We know what you're risking standing in solidarity with us, and we are appreciative. We thankful. But please, let us not lose sight of what we fighting for. A protest without a plan and a list of demands is more like a parade. We're not here parading. Let me hear everybody say, this is not a parade. We're not here to parade, y'all. Because you parade when you celebrating something. We're not celebrating nothing. We're standing here with our demands, and we're sitting up to see the cease of police brutality. The cease of those are able to kill us and lynch us. That's the new modern day lynching. Them shooting us on camera. We are here because we fed up. We have reached our boiling point, America. A mirror to the hate that we've been gave. So when the president tweets out things like these thugs are tearing up Minneapolis, but they tweet out the citizens of Pennsylvania demand their rights when they marching with AR-15s and deadly assault rifles, but they call them citizens and people, we see where we stand. I see a people that say we're not going for it no more, man. If we gotta burn this motherfucker down, that's what they gon' do. They not going for it no more. We have reached our boiling point, America. Don't blame us for this. Don't blame us. The power is in the people and politics we address. For us to stand here, that means we all got some things that we need to address. To change the narrative. So when they say we can't come together in peace and in solidarity, when we can't come together with demonstrations to spread love, that's a lie. If your intentions are negative, please exit stage left. We here because we have reached our America. Let's remain conscious of what we do. Oakland, California, the home of the Panthers. Organizing ain't nothing new for us. Thank you.
Tuning in, you're listening to Times May Vary on BFF.fm. I'm your host, Kaylin Brigado. It's your weekly hour of underground electronic broadcasting from home number 10. So we've had tracks by Jeff Majors, Anahata, and Regular Fantasy, and a speech from Jesse Williams as well. Underneath right now, we've got Sleep D, Chili Lips, and we've got some good speeches and some good music coming up. Once again, this week's episode is focused on presenting speeches from activists in the Black Lives Matter movement and during the civil rights era, speaking out about the injustices that are going on around this country and what we're fighting for. So I hope you enjoy, and as always, Black Lives Matter and Times May Vary on BFF.fm. Keep it locked. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Women, because black women are magic. This is an ode to the black women who persisted and the black women who helped them each and every step of the way. Were it not for a black woman from the Midwest who could do anything a man could do and definitely do it better, were it not for that same black woman getting pregnant with me and not being quite sure how she was gonna do it, but she did it anyway. Yes, she persisted, because that is what black women do. And were it not for that black woman deciding to do it anyway, and if it wasn't for that black woman teaching me how to do the same, I would not be standing here today. Were it not for black women, there would be no Underground Railroad, no one to campaign against black bodies swinging from trees like strange fruit. There would be no protest songs like the ones that came up from the toes, through the womb, and up through the lungs, and out the mouth and the mind of the brilliant Nina Simone. There would be no black women voting like the 96% of us who did vote and said hell no to this administration. There would be no America if there were not black women. This is an ode to black women, because black women are magic. Were it not for black women, June Jordan never would have wrote a poem about her rights that I now have tattooed across my heart like a pledge and a promise. Were it not for black women, there would have been no one to fight for me, and I would not be here to fight alongside you when they said, she can't, she shouldn't, she's too young, she's too smart for her own good, she's too disruptive, she's too brash, she's too bold, too audacious, too persistent, she took too long, she should just give it up. She can't succeed, can't graduate high school, can't graduate college, and can't graduate from graduate school. 8 years later, can't cry out in the night that black lives actually do matter, and can't ignite the imagination of millions. Who does that black woman think she is? Well, I'll tell you, if it was not for black women, were it not for black women, this black woman standing right here in front of you would not have finished her degree while fighting for the rights of domestic workers and fighting for black lives all over the world, including my own, and fighting against corporate greed in Bayview Hunters Point, just 5 minutes from where we sit right now, against the poisoning of babies for profit, fighting against kids being shot and killed on T-trains, and exposing sewage in public housing, exposing the world that lives within the richest city in the world, exposing police kicking down the doors of black women looking for their children to put in a cage instead of taking them to a college or a job or a dream. Were it not for black women like Dr. Dorothy Ceruta and Dr. Donna Lissa Fisher and Lynette Schwartz and Patrice Cullors and Ada Bogan Trawick and Myrtle Buckhalter and June Jordan and Barbara Smith and Latifah Simon and Harriet Tubman, Malaika Parker, Angela Davis, Erica Huggins, Linda Burnham, Diane Nash, Ella Baker, Brittany Cooper, Sojourner Truth, Ida B. Wells, Audre Lorde, Nina Simone, Maya Hall, Penny Proud, Patricia Hill Collins, Jessie Powell, Betty Higgins, Joanne Abernathy, Emma Harris, Espinola Jackson, Ilan Nettles, Asada Shakur, Renisha McBride, Janetta Johnson, Kimberly Crenshaw, Janet Mock, Miss Major Griffin Gracie, Dream Hampton, Michelle Obama, Mayetta Buckhalter, and Corinne Gaines, and so many others whose spirits course through my blood, there would be no me, no you, no us, no civilized society of which we speak. We, I, you, and me, we owe everything to Black women. So yes, all lives, all contributions, but this is an ode to Black women. This is bigger than that. This is about Black women who are cisgender, transgender, no gender, disabled, queer, immigrant, Black women who time and time again keep trying to tell y'all, better yet showing y'all, we are magic. This is an ode to Black women. Thank any and every God you want for the resilience, determination, audacity, persistence, dedication, power, presence, willpower, and the lifting up of all of us all the time without ever having been asked to do so, because we just do that. This is an ode to the potential and the possible of the praxis of Black women. Congratulations to the class of 2017, and in particular, congratulations to the Black women who persisted and the Black women who helped them every step of the way. Let's go.
So I wanted to read a part of the essay Gemini from the book Gemini, trying to deal with us. But if black men ever would decide to define a black man in black terms, I think they would have different expectations of us as women. I went to the opening of an African exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum and noticed only about a dozen black men in the crowd of at least 200 people. And I thought to myself, how odd, no black men. Then I looked at the exhibit piece by piece and began to think I understood something. There was a beautiful door from the Congo. And looking at that door, I saw a man, a woman, several children in the yard, and this white man saying, your door is an excellent example of the Kashana people's art, and I must take it back to Amsterdam. And this beautiful African, barefoot, with perhaps an earring in his left ear, replies, but this door is the door to my house, and it is not for sale. And the woman, sensing something, stops the grinding of grain and begins gathering the children around her, while the white man goes on with, I must have the door. The museum needs it, and I can make 50 dinars on it. And the African rises to his full height on his long, lithe legs, tribal markings dancing slightly on his face, eyes clear and hard, saying, my family needs this door. It is mine. My father left it to me as his father did him. You may not have it. It is not for sale. And the cracker turns in a rage to leave. Then 2, perhaps 3 days later, the missionary comes up saying, my son, your door is needed in a great country far away from here. You will be blessed by our Heavenly Father if you give your door to the merchant. And this magnificent African, stooping by his doorway, playing with one of his children, shakes his head. I would be cursed by my ancestors. Go now, go away, and leave us in peace. Then in the night, the soldiers come with the guns. The African responds with a spear. The fire acts from the barrel. The woman screams. The children scatter, asking what is the matter. The man is stretched out in a pool of dark, murky liquid, and the door is taken down, hoisted upon the shoulders of the black mercenaries, walked to the sea, and freighted back to Amsterdam so that it can be borrowed by the United States of America to show how the people in Kashana lived in 1582. And I began to understand why so few black men had come, because it was not a door at all, but dead ancestors murdered in their homes that they would see. Not a statue from Nigeria, but a raped woman, a slit throat, a burned village. And even as I saw that, I knew I would never understand the reality of being a black man. Men grow beards to protect the throat, have hair on their chest to protect the heart, have afros to cushion the head blows. And these things become aesthetically acceptable, if not preferable, but they always have their groundings in survival. My man and I can walk down the street together, and if some guy says something out of the way to me, it's an insult. To him, it could be his life. I can walk away from words and gestures and still be a woman. He cannot and still be a man. So little of a black man's existence relies on his acts. His women, mother, sister, lovers control his life, and generally so irresponsibly that it can be frightening. And sometimes black women aren't very nice, for a lot of reasons. And sometimes we use our power against him, for a lot of reasons. And I think some of the hostility is real and must be related to as such. We're angry, and so are they. But it's only when we admit it that we can get anywhere. I don't think a woman cares where she walks if you let her walk with you. And I don't think a man cares that a woman talks if she'll talk to him. And if we really understand we are born men and women, and it's our choice whether or not we stay that way, I think a lot will change. If now isn't a good time for the truth, I don't see when we're going to get to it. Because I don't want my son to be a warrior, or to go to some school where some insensitive teacher asks him why I'm not married, or where some cracker thinks he can run my son down anytime, any kind of way he pleases. We need some happiness in our lives, some hope, some love. I didn't have a baby to see him be cannon fodder. Something more must be decided. If it's a real war, then he must be brave and true. If it's a mental war, he must be black and proud. But if it's the Wake the People Up war, Martin Luther King did that. Malcolm X did that. Stokely Carmichael did that. Rap Brown did it. And if people aren't awake, then perhaps the dreams are too good to be disturbed again. Perhaps black people don't want revolution at all. That too must be considered. And I decided to be a writer because people kept asking, what would I become? And I couldn't see anywhere to go intellectually and thought I'd take a chance on feeling. I didn't want to get married, buy a 5-room house in the suburbs, and have lunch at Caproni's as my big event of the month. I could see becoming a bored, alcoholic social worker with a couple of kids I didn't want by a man I barely spoke to, and wondering at 35 what I'd done with my life. The second greatest thing that happened to me was getting kicked out of Fisk University because I had to deal with my life. I could go back to school, join Delta Sigma Theta, marry a Meharry man, and go quietly insane. It's true. I could go on to live. And I think I wanted to be famous because my mother deserves to have the world notice her existence. And my family has worked too hard to be ignored. I don't think I would have cared much if it hadn't been for them, but they deserve more. Other people put a lot of time and energy into me, and they deserve something too. And love means nothing unless we are willing to be responsible for those who love us, as well as those whom we love. People don't just love you out of the blue, you let them. And people have loved me when I needed to be loved. So as an adult, I must give some of that love back to those who want it, or it would have all have been for nothing. I think I'm no different from any other colored girl who has to grow up and make decisions and live by them. I think we are all capable of tremendous beauty once we decide we are beautiful, or of giving a lot of love once we understand love is possible, and of making the world over in that image if we choose to. I really like to think a black, beautiful, loving world is possible. I really do, I think. Thank you very much.
The times may vary on BFF.fm. I'm your host, Kalen Bergato. This has been Broadcasting from Home number 10. This is the second week featuring speeches from people participating in the civil rights movement and activists in the Black Lives Matter movement. I hope that these words have resonated with you, and I hope that they've motivated you to keep protesting, to keep making it known that these injustices and that this inequality in this country and around the world will no longer be tolerated, and that we aren't going to stop until the wrongs are righted. So thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week, same time, for another hour of underground electronic music. I guess I'll end by saying, as always, Black Lives Matter. And thank you again for tuning in. Times may vary, BFF.fm.